The Green Valley News for Wednesday, May 6th. Mark DeGroft with you here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. An Arivaca man who admitted to secretly recording his 15-year-old stepdaughter is now serving a 9.5-year prison sentence. According to Pima County Superior Court records, once released from prison, the man will have to register as a sex offender and will be on probation for 20 years. He'll also have to perform 200 hours of community service. The Green Valley News, Juarita Sun, is not identifying the suspect to protect the identity of the victim. The man pleaded guilty to 2 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor under 15 and 1 count of secretly viewing or recording another person without their consent in exchange for the 17 other counts he was facing being dismissed. According to a Pima County Sheriff's Department report, the girl found a game camera in her closet in August of 2025 that had been set up to record a bunk bed through an 18 to 24 inch gap in the closet's curtains. The girl's mother told investigators the wireless camera had been purchased to capture bats and other creatures in the backyard, and the only person with access to the footage was her significant other, the report stated. She also stated that the footage went straight to his telephone. PCSD reports refer to the man as the woman's husband. Investigators found videos and photos going back to April or May that showed the girl in various stages of undress in her bedroom and in the bathroom. At least one video was taken from outside the home into the girl's bedroom. A YouTube influencer who accused Sorita Police Chief John Nolan of assault last year was arrested on 10 charges Sunday night in connection with the domestic violence incident. James Springer, 41 years old, was arrested after taking officers on pursuit that ended in Marana. According to Sorita Police, officers received an assault call from a Rancho Sorita resident right around 10 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. Springer's wife told 911 dispatchers that her husband had pushed their 16-year-old daughter after damaging items inside the home during an argument. Springer's wife said he left the home in the vehicle after expressing thoughts of suicide, and she feared that he had a handgun with him. An officer saw a vehicle matching the description at a gas station and confirmed it was Springer using the license plate. When the officer attempted to pull over Springer on Sorita Road, he refused to stop and got on North Bend I-19. Pima County Sheriff's deputies and DPS troopers joined the pursuit and used raids road spikes that failed to stop the vehicle. A DPS officer used a grappler to stop Springer at an exit in Marana. According to officials, officers found a weapon inside the car. The court documents indicate Springer's wife told officers that the event began during an argument over Springer's mental well-being. She said she was worried about him because he's unemployed and has been working 2 jobs to support the family. She told officers he threw his cell phone at their oven's glass door, shattering it. According to court documents, Springer's wife said her husband made homicidal and suicidal statements while in possession of the gun. He also made hand gestures as though he's going to draw it, she said. Springer was arrested without incident, booked into Pima County Jail on suspicion of 4 counts of disorderly conduct, fighting, 2 counts of disorderly conduct involving a weapon, and 1 count each of criminal damage, threats, and intimidation, unlawful flight from law enforcement, and carrying a weapon during the commission of a felony. Jail records show that Springer's being held in medical observation unit. His bond has been set at $40,000. Springer, who is a YouTube influencer, known for calling out and provoking law enforcement officers under the names of James Freeman, accused Nolan of physically and violently attacking him in the SPD lobby on August 7th. Springer claimed he was at the police station to provide Green Valley Pastor Steve Aiken extra recording devices to use during Aiken's deposition in a federal lawsuit that he filed against the town of Sorita and the SPD. In videos, Springer said Nolan grabbed me by the neck, swung me around, and threw me down on the tile. A 9-minute video posted on YouTube by Right Here Press shows town of Sorita attorney Jim Jellison blocking the camera crew from the conference room while Springer continually taunted and attempted to provoke him. Jellison tried to explain that the Aikens had failed to provide advance notice of their desire to film the depositions as is required by law. A person who appeared to be a civilian member of the police department attempts to close the door leading to the conference room, telling Springer it's a restricted area, but he refused to move out of the way. At that point, Jellison informed the employee that he needed the assistance of another officer. Moments later, the video shows Nolan telling Springer to move as he tried to close the door and then taking Springer to the ground after Springer didn't. The two other officers rushed in to help handcuff him, and other officers tried to push back Springer's companions. Marana Police Department detectives investigated the incident, forwarded their findings to the Pima County Attorney's Office, which cleared Nolan and said Springer could be charged with criminal trespass, but he was never formally charged with anything. An Aikens lawsuit against SPD is pending. A Walden Grove High School student prompted a 911 call on Monday morning when he showed up on a school bus 2 days after being arrested for allegedly threatening to shoot students at the school. According to Suarita Police, 911 dispatchers received a call on Saturday about a boy who was making threats to bring an explosive device to school and shoot students on Monday. After being questioned by officers, the student was arrested on suspicion of threats and intimidation and interfering with an educational institution, and he was booked into the Pima County Juvenile Detention Center, according to officials. On Monday, dispatchers received a 911 call about the same student making the same threats, and the caller said he was on the bus headed for the school, officials said. Officers and WGHS staff isolated and searched the student, but didn't find anything suspicious, according to officials. An investigation revealed the witness who saw the boy on the bus were not aware of alleged threats, were old, and that law enforcement officers had already addressed the issue. Suarita Unified School District spokeswoman Amber Woods said in a Wattle Grove administrator was made aware of the threats and the arrest on Saturday night. The administrator did not receive any follow-up calls that indicated any action was needed in terms of the district safety protocols. Ultimately, the police department deemed the threats, which were directed toward a small group of students, were not credible, Woods said. Any school disciplinary proceedings will be conducted in accordance with school policy, Woods said. Suarita is laying new asphalt for multi-use paths along roadways in a central area of town that has gone from an isolated pocket of desert to a growing community in the path of a potential freeway. The 10-foot-wide paved paths are on La Villita Road between Suarita and El Toro Roads and on El Toro Road from La Villita Road to Clacaneana Drive. The town reported the paths will make more room for pedestrians, cyclists, and other motorized travel. The town expects multi-use path construction to wrap up sometime in June. The area has seen some recent improvements. The town vacated Twin Buttes Road from El Toro Road to La Villita in February of 2025 and followed that up by extending El Toro Road to La Villita Road. The vacated Twin Buttes Road still lingers in the desert behind road closure signs, but the town reported it plans to mill the asphalt to the dirt, grade the land, and hayseed the area, returning it to natural desert. Rancho Suarita also began developing the 954-lot Entrada del Toro subdivision, its south of El Toro Road along I-19's east side. Entrada del Toro will also get a new intersection that will connect it to the rest of Rancho Suarita. Improvements to the Rancho Suarita Boulevard and El Toro Road and new railroad crossings are about 90% completed, with the town anticipating new traffic signals to begin operation in mid-May. Trico is increasing capacity to the area along with the vacant region adjacent to I-19's west side, and it has the landfill and has recently had its zoning cleared to accommodate a data center and its possible usages. Trico reported that it understood that the Entrada del Toro area was about 60% complete as of late April. And the area along La Villita Road is also the site of a planned town center, featuring a mix of retail, dining, recreation, and entertainment. The area got a boost in 2023 after getting a donation and purchase agreement for 230 acres of land south of Town Hall. The $1.7 million purchase agreement with Anaconda, Arizona, and Amax, Arizona, included nearly 146 acres and a separate 87 and 3/4-acre donation agreement that provided the land for Man in the Maze Trails Park. The Regional Transportation Authority also has major road project planned for the developing area. The voter approved $2.6 billion RTA next. 20-year transportation includes $34.2 million for roadway improvements and a new section of two-lane roadway on La Villita Road from Suarita Road to Nogales Highway. The project includes bicycle, pedestrian, and drainage improvements. The RTA project is scheduled to begin in the plan's first 5 years. Town spokesperson Haley Tovoyan said on Monday that the multi-use path under construction on La Villita Road is funded through an RTA Alternatives grant and is separate from the RTA Next project. She said the path project underway now was designed to minimize impacts with RTA Next, with the intent to minimize future construction costs and impacts. RTA Next includes two other major roadway projects in Suarita: $22.9 million for Pima Mine Road improvements, that would be from I-19 to Nogales Highway, and $100 million for Suarita Road improvements from La Quinata Drive to Rancho Suarita Boulevard and a new interchange at I-19. The Suarita Road project calls for $15 million in RTA Next funds, and that'll be from a countrywide half-cent sales tax and an $85 million in non-RTA funding. The Suarita Road project is scheduled for RTA's next fourth period, and Pima Mine Road is slated for the planned second period. The central Suarita area is also the site of the 2,000-foot-wide preferred Sonoran Corridor route that is under study for a 400-foot-wide roadway that would become a new freeway known as State Route 410. When initially proposed, the area was mostly vacant desert aside from a small mobile home park and a smattering of rural ranch and manufactured homes off La Villita Road near its southern terminus. The SR 410 corridor now would pass through Entrada del Toro just south of El Toro Road and east of I-19, putting the subdivision in the path of a major interstate junction and roadway. SR 410 would connect I-19 and Interstate 10 south of the Tucson International Airport and is likely years away, with the Arizona Department of Transportation still in the second phase of its study. ADOT identified the 2,000-foot-wide corridor path in November of 2021. Rancho Suarita began building Entrada del Toro in the corridor's path in 2025. The route received pushback from several town council members in January during a meeting as ADOT's design group gave a presentation on the project. Vice Mayor Kara Egbert, who along with Mayor Tom Murphy and the 2017 Town Council okayed a resolution supporting the Sonoran Corridor, said the area was no longer viable due to ongoing development. Egbert said the area was vacant, unplatted land, and when the Sonoran Corridor study began, adding that that is no longer the case. Council members also pushed for ADOT to reconsider routing SR 410 through the Tohono O'odham Nation, which was removed from consideration as tribal members voted not to consider a possible right-of-way. ADOT spokesperson Karen Groff didn't answer in January whether the department would cancel SR 410 if the town of Suarita rescinded its support or if outreach shows more support for a no-build option. But he did add that ADOT takes the public and local jurisdictions' input into consideration when developing its alternatives. He also told the Green Valley News Sun in January that there were no discussions with the nation regarding putting the corridor through the San Javier District. The San Javier District Chairman Austin Nunez told the Green Valley News and Sun that they had no plans to reconsider the SR 410 right-of-way, adding that they hope it's built, but not on our land. Tavorian said to the Green Valley News Sun on April 22nd that the town is exploring all options when it comes to the Sonora Corridor, but there are no plans to pull official support. Town manager Shane Dill said on April 22nd that recent shifts in support are focused on Phase 3, which runs through the Region 9 of Rancho Suarita, which does include Entrada del Toro. The town remains at the table with ADOT to work collaboratively in order to find a suitable alternative to the current Phase 3 alignment, he said. Another next alternative route was through Pima Mine Road. Passing a mix of tribal, county, state, and private land, ADOT hasn't said reconsideration is off the table when it was asked. On April 23rd, Groff said ADOT had many options under consideration and wasn't in a position to discuss any one possibility when pressed on whether Pima Mine Road was back on the table. The Sonoran Corridor Study Team is evaluating various potential alignments and other alternatives, he said. The study team will continue working toward identifying a final alignment and will conduct research and outreach to the public during the next phase, which we anticipate to be by next winter. It's 14 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. A 33-year-old Phoenix man who was originally arrested in September in connection with the Green Valley title fraud case pleaded guilty to misdemeanor criminal trespass last week. According to Pima County Superior Court records, Bryce Payne could be sentenced to up to 6 months in jail, or he could be placed on probation for up to 3 years. On September 19th, a New Mexico man who inherited a home on Abrego Drive from his father called the Pima County Sheriff's Department to say that he'd received notice from the assessor's office that a man he didn't know, identified as Payne, was trying to claim ownership of the home, this according to a PCSD report. The man met deputies at the home, which is valued at $340,000, and told them that he had left a note in the mailbox that was asking the post office not to deliver mail there, but it had been replaced with the name of Bryce Payne. It also said it appeared as though the locks had been changed, but he was able to go inside and told deputies that it appeared that as though things had been moved around. And according to the report, the man said he had last visited the home back in May. On September 22nd, deputies found Payne at the home along with the homeowner. Payne initially told them that the situation was a civil matter, but then he said if it was a crime, it was only a simple trespassing case, and he should just be able to leave if the homeowner wanted him to leave. The deputy wrote the following in his report. He advised me that there was also a realtor student in Phoenix that he was trying to get to his property, because it was abandoned and he was able to look up online through research that the property was abandoned and that taxes were not being paid on it, as well as that not being kept up at all. The deputy also wrote that Payne had told him once he starts paying the taxes on the house, as well as doing the upkeep on the house, like cleaning it and the yard, and if he stays on the property for 3 years, then he will eventually become the owner. When Payne was told the property hadn't been abandoned and there was no owner, Payne said he once went through the process, the property would still become his, the deputy reported. Payne said he found the property on August 2nd through research, the report stated. Payne was arrested on suspicion of the Class 6 felony of first-degree criminal trespass and the Class 2 felony of fraudulent schemes and artifices. Payne was later indicted on a misdemeanor criminal trespass count alone. Under the terms of the plea agreement, Payne cannot return to the home or have any contact with the homeowner, and he's scheduled to be sentenced on June 1st. A new poll from a conservative organization shows that Southern Arizona to U.S. Representative Juan Ciscomani is trailing the Democratic challenger, Joanne Mendoza. But Mendoza's 47-44% lead is within the poll's margin of error. Ciscomani, who's a Republican seeking a third term in Congressional District 6, said there is more than 44% of the 400 CD6 voters who were surveyed, while Mendoza had 47%. His district includes Green Valley and part of Suarita. Ciscomani starts the race in a precarious position, with high name ID, but also high unfavorables, the survey notes. However, there is a room to improve his position with positive messaging. Ciscomani has won his first two elections by less than 3 percentage points in CD6, which is one of the most competitive districts in the country. At the start of this year, Republicans made up 36% of voters in CD6. Democrats made up about 30%, while 34% of voters aren't registered, or go with either major party. The poll, conducted via live telephone calls to landlines and mobile phones by Ragnar Research Partners on behalf of Conservatives for America, surveyed 400 voters in the district between March 12th and 14th and had a margin of error of plus or minus 5%. The results could be viewed as a Google Doc available for public view, but access was later restricted. Outside political groups often post polling data and other documents for short periods online in order to avoid legal restrictions on overtly coordinating with candidates and campaigns. Siskamani campaign strategist Daniel Scarpinato dismissed the poll's results. Horse race polls don't decide elections, voters do, Scarpinato told the Tucson Sentinel via email, and in this district, the polls have been wrong time and time again. Juan's focus is on serving the people of Arizona and getting to every corner of this district to listen to the people and represent them effectively. Mendoza agreed that the poll did not mean she would win the race. I'm honored by the support, but still, this race will not be decided by a poll, she said. It will be decided by the people of this district who are starved for servant leadership. As a Marine, I took an oath to protect and serve this country. That oath does not expire. I'm running for Congress to bring servant leadership back to Congress, lower costs for families, and keep our communities safe. Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee spokesperson Lindsey Riley said that Siskamani sealed his fate when he caved into D.C. party bosses and voted to gut Arizonans' health care, protect reckless tariffs, and greenlight a cost-spiking war of choice in the Middle East. The Republican-aligned firms' poll showed that Siskamani was viewed favorably by 32% of those surveyed and unfavorably by 36% and had a name ID of 83%. Mendoza, a Marine veteran who previously ran unsuccessfully for the Arizona legislature back in 2020, was largely unknown by those who were surveyed, with only 23% saying they were familiar with her name. She was viewed favorably by 6% and unfavorably by 3%. The survey also showed Trump was viewed unfavorably by 51% of voters in the district and viewed favorably by 43%. House Republicans were faring worse, with 51% viewing them unfavorably and 40% viewing them unfavorably. Siskamani was struggling with the key group of independent voters, with 41% viewing him unfavorably and 23% viewing him favorably. Among Republican voters, 61% viewed him favorably, while 14% had an unfavorable view. And only 7% of Democrats viewed him favorably, while 82% had an unfavorable view. Tucson voters are largely unhappy with Siskamani, with 48% holding an unfavorable view and 25% viewing him favorably. He was more popular in Cochise County at 40% favorability and 28% unfavorability, and north of Tucson, where he enjoyed 31% favorability and 24% unfavorability. Cost of living and health care costs were identified as a top economic concern of voters, particularly among those who are undecided. And looking at the safety log, Sewaren police are investigating after they received a report of a Sewaren Unified School District student recording another student in the bathroom. The phone has since been confiscated. A Sewaren resident who gave someone claiming to be a bank representative banking information called Sewaren police to report losing more than $1,000. Sewaren police responded to a fight in progress in the 15,900 block of South Rancho Sarita Boulevard and learned a loss prevention employee was assaulted by a shoplifter after being confronted. The shoplifter fled. A Sewaren resident called police at 11 a.m. after hearing a shuffling sound coming from upstairs. Officers searched the home but didn't find anything, nor were there any signs of a forced entry. Sewaren police received a call at 10 p.m. from Quail Creek resident, who saw a dark figure run from their yard onto a golf course. The officers didn't find anybody. A Sewaren resident asked police to document the fact that she had found a digital recording device in her partner's nightstand with recordings of her conversations. Sorita police received a call from somebody who said a woman pulled her daughter out of a public pool by her hair and then cussed at her. The investigation revealed the mom saved her daughter from drowning in the deep end by grabbing her arm and her hair. An East Thomas Jefferson Way resident reported someone stole several items from inside a parked car. Santa Rita Fire District crews and Sorita police responded to a trash can fire at about 10:45 in the morning. An investigation revealed a town maintenance worker accidentally had caused the fire. And a 54-year-old Sorita man was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence. Sorita police, who responded to a kidnapping call on South Ava Avenue, learned that the victim had left willingly with the kidnapper. However, they arrested the 44-year-old kidnapper after learning the Tucson resident had caused damage to the home during a heated argument with the woman who accused him of kidnapping their grandmother. And a 37-year-old Green Valley man was arrested and booked into the Pima County Jail on suspicion of domestic violence and disorderly conduct after being accused of getting drunk, acting aggressively, yelling profanities, and damaging items in front of two children and others. A county resident called the sheriff's department after arriving home from an extended period away and discovering someone had drilled out the lock to their RV and broken a window to get inside. They didn't find anything missing. As Santa Rita Fire District crews breached a door to get full access to a fall victim who couldn't get up because of their disability, the patient declined any medical attention. A Sorita resident called police after finding an Amazon delivery tote that was full of packages on South Camino Tierra Alegre. Officers found the driver who lost the tote and returned it and the packages to him. A Sorita resident called police at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to complain that their neighbor's bird was squawking. The owner told police that they would take care of the noise. And a county resident called the sheriff's department and reported that somebody had forced open a gate on their property, entered the home, and had searched it 2 days earlier. But they said that nothing had been taken. The Green Valley News for Wednesday, the 6th of May. Mark DeGroft with you. Thanks for joining me. We'll be back on Friday. Until then, y'all take care.